We'll start off with a word of prayer. Father, I thank and praise you for the beauty of the day now that you've given to us. This is the day that you have made, and we're to rejoice and be glad in it. And we thank you for it, Father, for it. Even though, Father, that it's rainy outside there, Lord, and we've been having rain so much here lately, you know what the earth here needs, and you know what we need here with it, and it all comes from you, and we just let it in your hands, and we're going to praise and thank you, Father, for it. We just ask now, Lord, that you would just be with us here this day. Lord, you know I need you for the lesson and for us to learn the different aspects here of this, and we just ask that you would just guide and direct. We ask your Spirit would just take full control and that you would just teach us, enlighten us through your word here today. Lord, it's your word, not our word, and we want to make sure that we bring it forth that it's pleasing to you. So, Lord, we just ask your Spirit would just have me say the things that need to be said here today and forget about the things, Lord, that I studied about and all that. So we just hold that before you and ask you would help. We ask you would be with the service to follow and that you would be with the pastor and the message that he has for us, and, Lord, that we could be enlightened through it also, that we could learn from it, and that we could just that you would just guide and direct him there, Father. I'm sure that he's studied real hard. I'm sure he's bathed in prayer to you. And now, Father, you just have it presented, Lord, that your Spirit would just teach us the things that we know, that we need to know about you, and that we can grow closer to you at all times. We praise and thank you now for just all things you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. We're going over the family. And we started off with the men. We got the men taken care of now. They're all straightened out. Now we just have to straighten the ladies out. And then we're going to be the perfect people. But that's not going to happen, never. Go to Genesis chapter 3. I had started this lesson a couple weeks ago. And I'm just going to start practically over again. Review doesn't hurt you. Repetition doesn't hurt you. You can learn from it. The pastor said about his message last week, it was kind of repetitious. I love repetition. I can learn from it. It teaches me. And he made it so simple last week. If you don't understand baptism now, you never will. It was something simple. It was repetition. I learn. I always learn every time that he has something over that he feels that he's doing it over and over. I can learn from it. So I told him to keep up the repetitions because I learn from it, and it's good. So you're going to have a little bit of repetition here that we started here a couple weeks ago. Probably a lot of you forgot it anyhow. But Proverbs 14:1 says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." We're going to look at, as we go through here now, we're going to start a lesson on six women who destroyed their men. And there's probably more than that in the Word of God here, but well, there's six of them that what I picked out here and what we're going to go through that have ruined their men. But anyhow, this is why. Right here, this lesson that we're going to start here today, this is why that there was ruination with sin amongst people today. Because of this. Because of what happened here. Because of Eve being disobedient to God and just not listening. Why? The question can be asked, why Adam didn't stand up on his own two feet, I can't tell you. I wish I knew that. I've had some time here to really think about this and keep going over it, and I find new stuff all the time, but I just can't figure out what happened to him. But here you have Eve. Like I said before, she was created for man. Genesis 2:18 says, "And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." She was his helpmeet. She turned out, she was to be, here he was, created, all the animals and everything else was created, and he was here alone. And God felt that he needed a helpmeet. And so he made a helpmeet for her, or for him. And he decided that he told them, you know, that they were in a garden. They had everything that they needed. It was a perfect place, perfect situation. Everything was perfect. It was perfect at that time. You've got to understand, everything was perfect. Everything. I mean, just everything was going on until you come to Genesis chapter 3 here. And so it says here, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord had made." The serpent here is a snake. Satan entered into this snake. The reason that we say that is if you check back in Revelation chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, he says, Satan is also called a dragon. It says here, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Revelation chapter 20 and verse 2 says practically the same thing. He says, "And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, you have to remember, I said everything was perfect. At this particular time, before Satan entered into this snake, there was nothing to matter. I mean, snakes were perfect. Now, my wife hates snakes. I come home, and there's some kind of a brew that she mixes up, and she puts all around the flower beds, the sidewalks. I said, "What is this stuff?" "Oh, it's sulfur and something else that I mix together. It's to keep the snakes away." I hardly ever seen a snake errant. I mean, there was a few snakes around, but evidently. Well, when we were first married, we stayed at my grandfather's farm. We rented his farm from him. And out back behind the house, there was a building. And right beside that building was a run. Well, he had a blacksmith shop and everything in there. And he used this water for the different things of this run and that. But there was always water snakes there. I mean, there was water snakes there. Definitely there was snakes there. And I would go out there. She'd come out there with me one day, you know, and I had my shotgun. And there were snakes all over the yard. And I started blasting. And she's holding her ears. And she's going in, "I don't like that. You know, she's carrying on about it. But we had this sidewalk that went from this building, from the house to the building. And there was this crack in the sidewalk. And these snakes would stick their heads up through that sidewalk. You know, they'd come up through that. She would carry on and have, and I couldn't shoot them because of the building right there, you know. And there was a door there with glass. And can you imagine me taking a shotgun, haul, whoom, you know, blowing a hole through the door. So I got a BB gun for her. Well, I showed her how to use this BB gun, and, you know, I hit a couple of them, you know, and it'd kill them. But they kept coming up through. And old Annie Oakley here, she got good at this, you know. She started sticking it out there the window, you know, and she'd be blasting these snakes and stuff. She hated snakes, you know. But before this, she wouldn't have hated snakes because snakes, they were perfect at that particular time. But now, they're, you know, They got the ruination by they had to crawl in their belly. They must have, evidently, the curse that they had to them, they must have walked around or something. I don't know. I can't tell you. I don't know. But snakes at that particular time were something different. But now Satan enters into this snake. So he does. And it says that he was more subtle than any beast of the field. Now, we went over the word subtle. And it means sly, artful, cunning, crafty, insinuating, deceitful, treacherous. You see, that's what Satan is. Exactly, that's what he is. He'll do anything and everything. Let's look up a couple verses here. Pastor, Genesis 27:35. Mrs. Cardner, 2 Kings 10:19. Corby, Matthew 26:4. And Danny, Acts 13:10, and Chad, 2 Corinthians 11:3. This is just talking about subtle or subtlety and stuff like that. Genesis 27:35.
"He said, 'Thy brother came with subtlety and had taken away thy blessing.'"
2 Kings 10:19.
"Now therefore call unto me all the prophets of Baal, all his servants and all his priests. Let nothing be wanting, for I have a great sacrifice to do to Baal. Whosoever shall be wanting, he shall not live. But Jehu did it in subtlety, knowing, or to the intent that he might destroy the worshippers of Baal."
Jehu had something there he was going to do. He wanted to destroy the worshipers of Baal. But he did this in this cunning and crafty way, just like the devil would do it, you know. Just like people try to take advantage of you today. Look at your news media. Look at your government. Look how they try to do it in a crafty and subtle way. They do it. And you see, they got it from right here. What's next here? Matthew 26:4.
And consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him.
See, they did the same thing there. They thought they were going to take Jesus to kill him, and they did the same thing by their craftiness and subtlety. Acts 13:10. There, Paul was talking about Emmaus, that the sorcerer, and he calls him the child of the devil, and all the subtlety that he did there. 2 Corinthians 11:3.
But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
You see, today, if the fallen man happened, the American Civil Liberties Union would take and they put a lawsuit against God. Wouldn't they? They would take and they would say, well, we have two consulting adults in their own private garden and you kicked them out. And so then the news media would get a hold of this and they would blow this so much out of proportion it would be unreal. See how Satan works? See how he's working today? See how he worked here? I don't think that he came here to deceive her, but he did. I don't think he came here to cause any denial or any doubts, but he did. I don't think he came here for her to be disobedient, but he did. I think Satan came here as an inquirer. At this particular time, he distorted the command of God as to imply, I may be wrong here, so correct me if I'm mistaken. I think this is what he's thinking right now. He's trying to get her mind to start thinking here a little bit. That's what Satan does to you and I. That's why he brings, and you'll see here, he brings this question to her. He says to her, he said, God hath made, and he said unto the woman, or the Lord God hath made. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now you think about that. He's telling her, you're not to eat of every tree. Now what's he trying to do? She knows God told her, or God told Adam, you can eat of any tree that you want to. But there's a tree that you don't have to eat of. Now listen, you think about it. The tree of life was there. She could have ate of that. But she was thinking here of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which she wasn't supposed to touch. She wasn't supposed to. I'll bet you her mind started going. See, God said, he says in Genesis 2:16-17, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. I think Satan was trying to get her mind onto this tree, onto the tree that was forbidden. The forbidden fruit. And she knew this. And I'm thinking, I can see her mind starting to go right now that she's thinking about this. Because she says, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. She says, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Is that what God said? Anybody? God said, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. She left out two words when she said that. Every and freely. She just says, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden. Now, here's where I know that she's thinking. Because she says, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Is that what God said? What did he say? She lets out some more words here. She says, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt eat of it. For in the day thou hast eaten, thou shalt surely die. She said, lest ye die. She left out the word surely. I think she's thinking wrong.
She added something too, because God didn't say they couldn't touch it. He said, don't eat it.
Mm-hmm.
She said that God said they shouldn't touch it.
You notice she said it's in the midst of the garden. She didn't say which tree. So she was looking at it. She knew right where it was. And that's where the temptation started to force the serpent even.
But see, he got her to thinking about this, even if she was looking at it, like you're saying there. He got her to thinking about it. You see how subtle he is? See what he does to you and I today? He brings the temptation. He brought her the temptation. The temptation wasn't the sin. Being tempted is not sin. It's when you do the sin is when it is sin. I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I'm going to read it for you. James chapter 1, verses 13 to 15 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So you see, it wasn't the temptation here. He was definitely tempting her, but it wasn't the temptation. But as she thought about this and thought about this, I believe, you know, the temptation got the best of her. Now, some people say that women are more curious than men. Now, I wouldn't really say that because, you know, I have a curiosity too. But, you know, my wife, I think, is more curious than what I am. So it's a possibility. I don't know. But anyhow, I think she was curious here now. Her curiosity started getting to her as she was thinking about this. And I think she was, as she was going through this, she was thinking about this and thinking about it, you know, and it got worse and worse as she was thinking about it. You see, God's words attacked here right this present time. Gary brought this up in his lesson when he had taught his lesson here about a month ago or something, and it is true. She said, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Right here, right then and there, she shouldn't have been even attacking God's word. And why that Adam didn't stand up here and say, hey, God said we're not supposed to do touch this or eat it. Nothing. Nothing at all. Stay away from it. But he didn't. Now you say, what are you talking about, Adam? Well, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I'm going to go ahead and get ahead of myself here because we had talked about this the last time a little bit. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. I'm a dumb country boy. I'm going to admit it. I'm a dumb country boy. But the word with her, I understand that he was right there. Doesn't that what it mean? Isn't that what you feel that it means? You English teachers, whoever you may be, there you go, teacher. What do you think? Huh? You teacher. I think that's what the word means, with him, with her. He was there. He was there with her as she was going through this trial, test, and tribulation, if you want to call it that. You know, he was there, just standing there. I don't know if he was dumbfounded or if he was just plain dumb or what. Yeah, sometimes you have to do that. I understand, men. Corby really gives me the looks. But I don't know what was going on here. Why he didn't speak up or say something, but he did. And now as we go on here in verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now you see, Satan uses the word surely, which she said, lest ye die, but he says, surely die. He says, you're not gonna die. He's putting this, now she's real, I think now her mind, the cogs are really turning. You know, I think that she's really thinking here right now. Well, you're not going to die? He says, goes on here in verse 5. For God doth know that in the day that ye shall eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Now, like I said, the curiosity here was getting to her. I think that she was thinking that there must be something mysterious about this. Or this could be an adventure. Or I wonder what this is going to taste like. I wonder what this actually, how does this make me feel if I eat this? You see what I'm talking about? I think she's really thinking here. What's going on here at this particular time? There was something here that was going through her mind that she was thinking about this. This is what Satan does to people that are on dope. And that you want to drink all the time and all that kind of stuff. Oh, just a little bit's not going to hurt you. You know, nothing like that's going to hurt you. Just go ahead. Go ahead. Take it. You know. And so there they are. And all of a sudden, there's an overdose. They're dead. Alcoholism or something like that there. I mean, this is how Satan works. You see, he's a deceiver. He's artful. He's cunning. He's crafty. And he does these things. And I think that she was thinking this at this particular time. She was very curious about it. Here's another one here that talks about the curiosity and stuff. Well, the woman herself, that's what she does. Let me just read it to you. Proverbs 9, 13 to 17. Listen to this. Proverbs 9. Get into Proverbs 9, Dean. Okay. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing, for she sitteth at the door of her house. The word simple there means naive. Okay? She's naive, you know. But also the person that comes to her is naive too. And knoweth nothing, for she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Who is simple? Who's naive? Let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. You see, there's another foolish, clamorous woman who thinks that, and she does do, and she does draw men into her. Men, we talked about it before, but you've got to be very careful, because women can do that to you. They can draw you in. You guys that work at Penn State, you've got to be careful. You've got to watch yourself. And men, I don't care where you work, where you're at, whatever, but ladies, watch how you dress yourself. Be careful. If you don't want men looking at you, then you better dress the right way. Because they're going to look at you. And that's they can draw you right in, man, into it. They can draw you right in. I got some verses on that, but we're going to go over them later. But you're going to see that they do draw you in. And this is just what happens here. This is just what happens here. She's drawn in by this here experience here that she's thinking that she's going to accept here, you know. And she don't know what it's going to be. So what does she do? Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So Eve walked to the forbidden fruit here. She saw it. And she took of it. She took of it. And she ate it. And she gave it to Adam. There was no fight, no nothing. He just grabs it and eats it. Now he knows. He knows. God said, "But the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, for in the day that thou eatest thereof shall surely die." He told him. Adam knew. God allowed this to happen because he gave them a choice. And they had to make the choice. Either obey God or disobey God. And if they disobeyed God, sin entered into the world. And sin would enter into the world. And I'll explain that later on. But this is what happened. She took of it. She grabbed it. She took of it. She ate it. And that was it. And he was right there. That's what I say. I just don't understand Adam. She walked to the forbidden fruit. She walked to the sin. Men and ladies, don't go near sin. Then you don't have to be tempted. Stay away from it. Run from it. Sometimes you got to run from it. Look at Joseph. He had to run from it. But yet he still ended up in jail. But he ended up being something completely different because God was in that whole thing. But he had to run from it. And you got to run from it sometimes. She wasn't content. She wasn't content of being in the perfect situation, the perfect world, the perfect environment. Everything was perfect at that particular time. There was no weeds to till. There was no sweat on the brow that happens these days. You know what it's like, men. You go out here and work. And you're sweating, you're hurting. They've moved me. I've been down on 220. I've been drilling holes and stuff all day long, bending, walking, everything else. I don't understand why these bodies that we live in, why there's got to be so many hurts and pains all the time. I don't understand it. It seems like the older you get, you find another new one. It has got to be one of the craziest things. And it's all because of this right here. It's all because of this, you know. You sweat. The other night I came home, I worked 11 hours the one day. No, 12 hours. And the other day I worked 13 hours. And I came home and I thought, the one guy was telling me that I was working with, they have two drills, and he's drilling and I'm drilling. And he's an older guy, too. He said he's 58. I said, oh, okay, so I understand. He has his back hurt. His back was hurting him and stuff. I said, you got backache? He said, oh, man. He says, it's killing me. I said, the other night I came home, and I said, I literally had to crawl out of my car. If somebody would have saw me, they'd have thought, what's the matter with him? You know, you wuss, get up and walk. Buddy, I couldn't hardly walk. And he told me, he says, I crawled out of my car, and I started up the walk, he said, and I was trying to get up the walk and walk up there. And he says, who meets me but the dogs, he says. And I've got to pay attention to the dog. Well, I said, I understand that. That's the first person that meets me when I come in the door, the dogs, you know. And I got to bend down and pet them. And I said, I bend down and my back is killing me. I don't know if I'm going to get back up or whatever. But this is what happens, you know. Just because of this, because that she ate of this forbidden fruit, because of her not being content, she wanted more. And she did. Be grateful for what you have right now, people. Be grateful for it. You know, don't want more. You know, God will give it to you if He sees that it's something that is something good for you. Eve listened to the serpent. She listened to him. Don't listen to unsaved friends. Don't listen to this worldly people out here that, you know, that want to try to get you to go backslidden and all this and that stuff. I was working here just recently with a guy that, you know, he carries on, you know, and as soon as he gets home, he has to start drinking beer. And he told me, he says, there was one time I was saved. He says, but I'm in a backslidden condition right now. I said, well, then maybe you ought to get yourself straightened out and get yourself back to where you are. You know, we had a couple of discussions about this, you know, and stuff. But, you know, it doesn't seem to sink in. He wants to follow the world. My friends out here, you know, they drink, they have fun, they carry on, they party and all this and that stuff. So what's so great about that? You know, knowing where I'm going, knowing when they take this body and they put it 6 foot under down here on a hill that I already have a place for it. When they put it there, I know where I'm going to be. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's the greatest thing there is. It's not this party world and stuff out here. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to these complaining Christians. Just tell them you don't want to hear it. Just be busy serving the Lord, you know. Do this kind of stuff. But that's what she was. She wasn't... She just wasn't content with the stuff, you know, and she wanted more. I think, you know, I'm just thinking this because, you know, we just see here just some of the things that happened here and took place. It says then, as we go on here in verse 7, I got stuff here that I'm going to come back to, but anyhow, it said here in verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, here they are. God said, you know, that they would surely die. But here they all of a sudden ate of this fruit. You know, she was wondering what would happen, and here what happened. Here they were both naked. Now there was no other man here in this earth at that particular time. It was just them two there. There was no shame, no nothing. Because they didn't know it. They didn't understand shame. They didn't understand this stuff at that particular time. But all of a sudden, here they find themselves, they're naked. And their eyes are open. They realize. So what's the first thing they do? They get leaves and they sew them together and made themselves aprons, you know, to cover themselves. You know, they were ashamed of it. And what happens here? And they heard the voice of God, the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. As I believe that he always did with them. He came and he would have fellowship with them. He would talk with them, you know. He would, you know, talks amongst them and stuff, and they have a good time, I believe. But here he is. He's coming in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And, I mean, here they are. They're hiding themselves. They're hiding themselves from God. I mean, here they've talked to him. They've walked with him, you know. They walked in the garden. He created them. He realized all this stuff. But now, all of a sudden, they're hiding themselves. Well, God already knew what happened. God already knew what took place. But he asked them anyhow. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. He never did that before. Now, all of a sudden, here he is. And in verse 11, and he said, who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. So what does Adam do? He blames it on God, because God gave her to him, and he blames it on the woman. That it was her fault. Now, isn't that something? Isn't that what happens today? You ones that have little kids, do you see that in your kids maybe? Huh? Do they try to blame something on somebody else, which you know you caught them red-handed? And there they are. They're blaming it on somebody else. There you have it. Right there. Right there's where it come from. You see, right there's where it come from. Adam here, he blames it on the woman that God gave him, but God himself. He blames them both. That's amazing that he blames them both. Well, and the Lord God said, verse 13, unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And so she tells him that what happens. And she says here what takes place, what goes on. Now, God said back here, he says, but of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Why didn't they die as soon as they ate it? God said it. What happened? That's what it is. That's what it was. The body started to decay right there, but they had a spiritual death. They were apart from God at that right there at that particular time. There was separation from God as soon as they ate that. That was that separation. 2 Thessalonians 1:9 says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power? The presence of the Lord. There was a separation. It was a spiritual death when they ate of that. Yes, the body started to go. That's when all the diseases and all this stuff that happens and takes place right now that these doctors are trying to find cures for, that's what happened. This is where it all started. This is what happened when she ate of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, and also Adam himself. That was the fall of man. That was the destruction of man just because of it. God gave something different then so that that we all have that we could come back from that separation. But anyhow, it took a while for that to happen and take place, but God, this was all in God's plan. And these were things that happened and took place. Now, I'm going to go on here, but I'm going to go back here a little bit. I'm going to backtrack here a little bit. What I want you to see here is, in verse 6, it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she saw it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. You think maybe this was her? Right here's where it all started. She saw. She had the lust of the eyes first of all here. I think. I believe this. And because it says she saw that the tree was good to eat. She saw of it. And she lusted after it. Her flesh lusted after it. She saw that there was something different about this tree because the sly little devil, he put this thinking in her head. Now, she had all those other trees. How many there was, I don't know. It was funny, as I was studying this out, somebody said, well, it couldn't be the apple because there was never no apples over in the Middle East. It was always pomegranates, so it had to be pomegranates. Now, get out of here. You mean to tell me that God couldn't put an apple tree in the middle, if it was an apple? I'm not saying that it was an apple. I'm just saying that this person, you know, that was saying this, how stupid was their thinking? You know, God could have made an apple tree there if he wanted to, if that was the case. But, anyhow, some of these people and some of their crazy ideas of some of this stuff, it was a pomegranate. She ate a pomegranate. Well, whatever it was she ate, you know, it was sin. It was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. She put it there. But she had all them other trees she could have ate of. She freely. God said freely. Eat of them freely. But instead, she had to, you know, she had to do this. So she saw it. Well, let's look up some verses here. I'm going to start back with you, Pastor, here again. I forget where I left off. So Genesis 6:2 Mrs. Codner, Genesis 39:7. Genesis 39:7. Corby, 2 Samuel 11:2. Danny, Job 31:1. And Amy, Matthew 5:28. Pam, look up 1 Timothy 2:14. And then I'll go from there. Genesis 6:2.
That the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and took them wives of all which they chose.
See, they looked, they saw they were fair, you know, and they took them. Genesis 39:7.
And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me."
See that? She saw Joseph. Well, some say that her husband, Potiphar, was a eunuch. I don't know. I don't know. It's possible. But she saw Joseph. He was good to look upon. And she said, "Lie with me," you know. Well, you know the account, what happened. He had to run away from her, you know. And then she has to blame him for something that he never even thought about doing. But anyhow, she saw. 2 Samuel 11:2.
And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon.
David. God's, a man that was after God's own heart. You know, even after David sinned, God still referred back. If you keep reading, God keep referred back to David. The kingdoms, he had to keep a king for the kingdom of David. He had to keep that. He kept a king. The kings, you know, that was in Judah and stuff, but he kept referring back to David. David was, there was something about David, you know, even after he sinned, that he got the forgiveness that God wanted him to have. And God, you know, but David saw right there, he looked, if he would have just turned his head, but he kept looking and he kept lusting after it. That's what I believe Eve did. She kept looking at it. She kept lusting after it. Her flesh took over and she took it to eat. Let's see. What was the next one? What did I give you, Danny? Job 31? Job 31:1. So, see, Job made a covenant with his eyes. Not going to look. If I do look, I'm turning my head. I believe that's what he was. I believe that's what he was trying to say there a little bit. And Matthew 5:28.
But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart.
See, men, you don't even have to commit the act. All you got to do is look and lust, and God says that you've already committed that in your heart. So be careful what you look. Get your head turned. Ladies, I keep repeating it, watch what you wear. You know, watch yourself. Be careful. Be careful, you know. All right. So she saw, you know, she looked at it. Her eyes, she looked at it here. And then I believe she lusted after it. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, it was pleasant to the eyes, and she saw this here, you know, and she looked at it. And then, Pam, read 1 Timothy 2:14, and she did eat.
And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression.
So it was the woman that was being deceived here at this particular time, but yet Adam, I mean, he was just as bad, as far as I care, you know, because she ate and he did, and he ate. Let me see, Mrs. Johnson, would you read No, I don't want to go there. It's too much. Okay, just forget that. Genesis 3:12-17 here says. Let me read these verses. And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she did give me of the tree, and I did eat." And 17 here. And unto Adam he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the herb of the fields." Okay, so you see here that because she ate, she took her husband down. There's more to this. I gotta quit here. But you can see what happened and what took place here because of this whole situation. Gary had said, you don't understand why that these teenagers and that go wayward. You bring them up in a Christian home and they go wayward. Here's the first thing you got to teach your kids. They've got to know where sin come from, why it was, how it was, and all that. You've got to teach them that. They've got to know. They've got to understand it. I'm not saying that that's going to do anything, but it's going to help them to understand what takes place. They want to follow after this world. They're in a Christian home. They're protected the whole time. You think about it. They're protected the whole time. You protect them. You try to bring them up. But, I'm convinced. I told my wife, I last week I had a couple hour study on just the kids, because that's going to be the next lessons when I get to it. And I'm trying to put some of it together. But I'm convinced you have to give them the Word of God constantly if you want them to keep themselves straight. They've got to memorize it. You've got to be talking to them in the mornings, in the evenings, during the day, whatever. I'm convinced it's God's Word. That's the only thing that's going to keep them from going wayward. I'll talk about that more. But what I'm saying here is that this here is got to be taught to them. They got to know that man has fallen because of sin that Eve did here. That she did. And Adam both. I'm not counting him out. They both did it. But it's because of this. And you can try to explain to them, like I tried to explain to you here today, why she did it. What was might have been going through her mind. That the devil, he's so sly. He's slick, I mean, look at the advertisements that's out here today. You don't have to see it on TV. It's out here on billboards. It's on the radio. I mean, just everything. He tries to draw you in. Look at these foods, the food places and stuff, Theirs is always the best food. And when the time is that they know that it's a good time for you to see this? When you're hungry. When you are hungry. They tell you never go to a grocery store hungry. Because you're gonna buy. And it makes sense, Go to a grocery store when you got something in your stomach, then you're not thinking about, oh, I gotta buy this, I gotta have that, I gotta have this, I gotta have that. So he's sly, he's slick. The news media, look at the news media, how they handle things today. They're slick. They're just using the methods of the devil because he's putting it there for them. So we got to be so careful as Christians. So we do. We can't let this curiosity get to us. We can't let these mysteries and these adventures a lot of times get to us, as what I think that she was thinking here. I got to quit there. Questions or comments? Okay, Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, for as we're going through here with looking at these six women, and as we only got to the one here so far, of what happens and takes place. And so we just asked that you would just help us to be Christians that are willing to serve you, keep our minds upon you at all times, and just for you to help us. Let your Spirit help us here, Father. Bring your Word into our minds to protect us from the evils that are out here this day that we live in. We thank and praise you now for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.